Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Why the Ten Commandments? I mean, if you want to be real and relevant this summer, is that really a good way to kick off? Christians have so many misconceptions about the Ten Commandments. We sometimes struggle with how the law and grace actually work together. Many don't understand what the law is for. If it's not a means of salvation, if that's accomplished through Jesus, apart from what we do or don't do, apart from the law, then why do we even have the law in the first place? This first week, we're going to focus on the theology and the narrative of the Ten Commandments. So let me just pause here and explain something. Theology and narrative are kind of church words, at least in this context, and we assume that everybody knows what they mean. If you're here and you're already feeling like this is just going to go over my head, don't fret. There are lots of people who have grown up in church that struggle with the meaning of church words, so you aren't alone. Theology is just the study of the nature of God and our beliefs revolving around God. And narrative is just the story. In this context, it's God's story. So basically, we're going to be digging into what the Ten Commandments reveal about God and how they fit into the story of God. The story of the Ten Commandments appears twice in the Bible, just in case you didn't know that. This one that we're studying is in Exodus, but it appears again in Deuteronomy. Recently, we talked about the significance of a story that appears three times in biblical terms, signifying completion or wholeness. So what does two mean? Well, I think it means that it's important enough that it bears repeating, but it's still missing a final piece. So keep that tucked away as we go through this, but let's pause and pray. God of mercy and grace, as we study your word today, inspire our imaginations, give us clear thought and deeper understanding. Help us to engage fully in the gift of your word. May we each receive benefit from our study. Amen. Scripture today comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, and 20, verses 1 through 2. Exodus 19, 1 through 6. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the people. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom, a holy nation.' These are the words that you should speak to the Israelites." And from chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, "Then God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. One of my favorite statements from the commentaries that I studied this week was 19 comes before 20. The point being that the relationship that God establishes with the chosen people comes first. And that is extremely important. The law, with its ethical demands on our behavior, comes second. It's secondary. In Exodus 19, God says, I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you all. I brought you out of all the people. You shall be for me a priestly kingdom, a holy nation. The start of Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, is a kind of introduction to the Ten Commandments. It's referred to by the Jewish people as the first word. And it makes that very same point. In fact, the word that we use, commandments, in Hebrew is actually word, the ten words of God. And that word, debre, or debar, as it's sometimes pronounced, is used several times in the book of Psalm alone, with the meaning also emphasized as promise, God's word, which is a promise to the people. It has a very different tone, right? God's 10 words as opposed to God's 10 commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So God first establishes with us a relationship, and then God addresses human behavior. First, God places us on eagle's wings and carries us back into his presence. God releases us from slavery, from bondage, from everything that hinders and holds back first. I mentioned earlier that God does not give us the law as a means of salvation. The law does not save us. God saves people, and that happens even before he speaks the law. To use the law to earn salvation, to win your soul's way to heaven, it's a complete contradiction to the word of God. It was never intended to be used that way. In fact, it's not even a possibility that we earn our way to salvation by following the law. God doesn't give the law as a way to establish relationship. God establishes relationship, and then God gifts us with the law. So then, what's the point of the law? How and why is it a gift? It is not so that we can become more spiritual. It is not so that we have a tool to gauge righteousness, but so that we can maintain right relationship with God and with others. God's word guiding us into healthy relationships, and that makes it a little more real and relevant, right? Can't we all benefit from God's instruction on being in right relationship with others? Has there ever been a more needed and useful tool or word? Take note of the guidance that God gives. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't be upset because your house doesn't measure up to your neighbor's house. Don't have a fling with your neighbor's spouse. On your day of rest, make sure that all your neighbors, from your sons and daughters right down to your sheep and goats, get rest just like you do. Honor your father and your mother. Paul writes in Galatians, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know your neighbor? Do you like your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? The topic for a seminary class that Ashley and I have been taking this week was how to be a good neighbor. Surely that is nothing more than coincidence, right? The classes are directed to pastors, but I believe they're applicable lessons for us all. They talked about walking the neighborhood of your church and getting to know your neighbors, starting up conversations, and listening to what people have to say. You know, Sandy Barth and Lee Bird have shared in previous Bible studies that that's something that they do and enjoy, walking their neighborhoods, talking and listening with their neighbors, striking up conversations with others, connecting face to face. It's a real thing, people, and it works, and it's effective. This is part of the good news. It's good news for my neighbor. God loves my neighbor so much that God tells me not to kill, steal, commit adultery, and so on, and it's good news for me. God loves me so much that he tells my neighbor to guard their behavior towards me also. Can't legislate love. We know that. I'm very sure that God is aware of that also. Laws themselves do not accomplish the purpose of causing us to love others effectively. But God does give us a commentary on what that looks like. That's what the Ten Commandments are, and that's their purpose. A commentary that every Christian should know and study. The Ten Commandments are God's unchanging ideal of what it looks like to live as God's people. God passing on a recipe, if you will, for his vision for the world, a guide to living in harmony with one another. One more important point. The Ten Commandments, they are for a free people, for a people who have been released from captivity. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I bore you on eagle's wings. God's 10 words are not meant to limit freedom by telling us what we can't do. Don't make the mistake of misinterpreting that way. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when we live in complete freedom that God has brought us into. God brought us into freedom to live there, to maintain that freedom. It looks like this. Christ. Christ is the final part that completes the law. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." How did Christ fulfill the law? Not only did Jesus fulfill the predictions of the Old Testament and the sacrificial requirement of the law by becoming the Lamb of God, by becoming on the cross an offering for sin, Hebrews 7:26 says he was holy and innocent, unstained, separated from sinners. Jesus fulfilled the law by always fulfilling the 10 words perfectly. He did what Israel could not do. He did what we could not do. He kept covenant. You know, covenant is two-sided. When the people broke covenant, God intervened by sending Jesus, who renewed the broken covenant of God by fulfilling the human requirement. The law didn't fail. We did. And when we failed, God fixed it for us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for my own possession. And because of Christ's obedience, dying for our disobedience, the amazing message of the gospel, the good news, is that by grace, through faith, we too can fulfill God's law simply by trusting in Jesus. Paul describes it this way, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. We love because God first loved us. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We share mercy and grace because we ourselves have received mercy and grace. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll look more carefully at these words, God's words, guiding us into deeper knowledge of a better relationship with God and with others. Relevant and useful then, now, and always. Amen.